T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Fan Hotline is brought to you by Workers' Compensation Law Firm of Hall & Capitis. And on the hotline, our friend Pierre McGuire visits every Monday at 4 o'clock. I almost said a quack, like a duck, from NHL on NBC. Pierre, how are you today?
It's great to talk to you, Chris. I'm doing fantastic. Just got done day one of a hockey camp that I've been running the last 15 years here in Boston. So pretty cool to have the young people out on the ice. It's not as large a camp because we have to social distance and manage the group size, but still energetic and having fun.
How cathartic is it for you to be able to get back out there, even in not quite the same circumstances as you would be, but still be out there doing what you're doing?
It's awesome. You know, I've been running a skate here for the last 3 months with probably 8 to 10 young men who are either eligible for the draft or have been drafted or are playing Division I college hockey. So that's been good for the last 3 months. That's kept me really focused and energized. And then to be able to work with really young ones like I'm doing now, I enjoy that very much.
Pierre, you've talked to us about how stacked this draft class is for this year, how you got to go back almost 2 decades to find another class that's anywhere near this caliber. How much more exciting is it for you to cover the draft, to be involved with the draft, when you know the level of talent is that high?
It's really exciting. It's stimulating, Chris. I think the big thing is that the last time we had a draft that was this deep was 2003. And that's a draft that Pittsburgh took Marc-Andre Fleury first overall. And, you know, you look at Nathan Horton and you look at Eric Staal and you go forward from there. Ryan Getzlaf, Mike Richards. I mean, Shea Weber was a second-round pick. Patrice Bergeron was a second-round pick. That draft was overwhelmingly good. I remember it like it was yesterday, except it was 2003, so it was almost 20 years ago. This draft has huge impact-style players in the first round. It's got tremendous character and role players from the third round to probably the sixth round, and there are going to be some real interesting picks in the second and third round, and people are going to say, wow, I didn't know that player was that good. There's some spectacular players, value players deeper in the draft that a lot of teams are aware of. And I've never seen, Chris, in all my years, whether I was working a draft table, coaching in the league, or broadcasting the draft, I've never seen the amount of preparation like I've seen this year, only because scouts have had to kind of change their approach. And they've done it, I think, in a really smart way.
Pierre McGuire, NHL on NBC Sports, joining us right now. Pierre, I'm looking at this NHL and NHLPA finalizing their tentative agreement as part of this ongoing larger negotiation, the Memorandum of Understanding on a new 6-year CBA. But they've got this tentative agreement on phase 3 and 4 protocols. What's your immediate reaction to those? Because mine is, it seems good, the NHL has a plan, but it's almost staggering the scope of what they're going to try to accomplish with all this.
The protocols are just overwhelming, and I really give a lot of credit to the league and their medical people. They clearly have thought this through, but if you ever read the protocols, it is overwhelming. It's shocking, actually, you know, especially when you consider the amount of infection rate in some of the states where some of these players are supposed to be quarantining and then eventually going to training camp. I think it's great how forward thinking the league has been, but I think we still have a long way to go. I just got off a text exchange with a very prominent agent who's really hoping that we're going to be able to do something, but again, there's no guarantees. And so players are going to do their best to be ready. Coaching staffs, Chris, will do their best to be ready. but there's a long way to go with the health issues.
Yeah, that, it's interesting that you framed it that way, long way to go. You know, people are hopeful that this will be able to get done, because that's somewhat along the lines of what I've been saying. It's great to see the league, and I think obviously it's statistically just true that Canada has done a much better job at containing the virus than the United States has. I think it's good that the hub cities are going to both be in Canada, Toronto and Edmonton. I think it's great that there's such a detailed level of planning, but it almost makes me more pessimistic, just because you sort of get a sense of the breadth of what they're going to have to accomplish, and almost accomplish perfectly, to actually make this go off without a hitch.
Oh, 100%. And you said that very eloquently. I'll give you a case in point. Originally, it was thought that there'd be 28 players per roster. Now we're finding out there's going to be 31. What changed? Well, they're probably worried about some players getting infection, which is normal. And they want to make sure that they have enough insurance policies so that they can continue with organization to organization, continue with, you know, the matter of playing the games. So that's wise. You can only have 51 people from each organization in the pod. That's interesting. That wasn't something that, and that includes trainers, coaches, ownership people, management people. So this is really, again, they've really thought of everything. I really commend, and I told you this, you and Andrew, this a long time ago, Chris, Gary Bettman and Bill Daly are master problem solvers. They are really, really good at it. And this is Exhibit A. The biggest thing is, will they be able to pull it off? Because I don't even know, with all their preparation, I don't know whether that can overcome, you know, what the virus is doing to our society right now.
Well, Pierre, sort of to wind down a little bit on that note, what are you hearing? What kind of rumblings are you hearing about the players here? Because it is such a huge ask on them and their families. I don't want that to get, you know, have people lose sight of that. They are being asked to do something, I think, pretty, well, definitely unprecedented. And I would imagine the mental strain, even if you have entertainment planned for them, maybe trips to the golf course, whatever, is still just going to be overwhelming.
Well, 100%. And so you think about it, the trip to the golf course, you can only be on your team's bus. You can only interact with your own teammates. You cannot, there's no two people to a room. You can't go into, let's say, Pittsburgh and Toronto, or in Toronto, and a guy in the Pittsburgh Penguins is friends with a guy in the Toronto Maple Leafs. They can't interact in any way in a public environment. So this is really going to be different. You know, players go on the road. They're used to be able to go to their favorite restaurant and then go back to their room and chat with their roommate or do whatever. They're not going to be able to do that now. This is really – hockey players, like most athletes, but hockey players in particular, are huge creatures of habit. Their habits are all going to be broken, and they're going to be a lot different than what they're used to being able to do. I can tell you that.
Pierre, we'll let you go on this one, and certainly not going to hold you to this, but just your gut feeling right now with the way you've been following everything and the way you're plugged into the league, do you still feel good about the chances that we get hockey, like, say, early August, that these games are happening?
They are doing everything in their power, Chris, everything in their power. Players, coaches, trainers, doctors, league officials, they're doing everything in their power to try to make this work. The one thing that I did not know they were going to do, but they have done it, is they've told the players that should the player choose not to play for their respective team, they will not be held accountable for that. And that's something I wasn't aware they were going to do until last night when I read the protocols. That I found interesting. I think there's probably some hesitancy from some players about wanting to play. We're seeing it in the other sports, and it's not because they're afraid to play. They've got, you know, they worry about young families. Some of them are fathers who are going to be new fathers for the first time. It's just a different, everybody's dynamic is different. So if I were to lay a bet, I'd probably say, yes, I would bet that they would play. But again, there's just so many moving parts here. And some players will play and some may not. And I can tell you this, if you go look at the potential UFA players, unrestricted free agents available for this year, you're probably looking at 25 big-name players around the league that everybody knows. You wonder if they all want to play. What's the benefit for them? What happens if they get sick? You know, and the disease affects them long-term. Nobody knows. So that's where we're going to see some fluctuation, I really believe.
Pierre McGuire, NHL and NBC Sports. Appreciate it as always, Pierre. Thank you so much.
Stay safe, Chris. Really nice chatting with you. Take care, everybody.
There's Pierre Maguire. We love talking to him every Monday, 4 o'clock.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.